Thank you. It is good to be here this morning. We're very thankful for the opportunity to be in the house of God. I was going to joke with Brother Kenny, and whenever he put this on, he said, "Does this mean we're going steady now since he pinned me?" But then after what Brother Page got to preaching on, I thought, no, we don't want to get rumors started. So anyway, we are glad to be here. We hope each and every one of you be blessed by the message this morning. I want to apologize for not being able to be here yesterday morning. I work for the Parks and Rec Department in City Somerset, and we have soccer going on. And you would think with 4 and 6 year olds, all you do is roll a ball out there, let them kick around a little bit and have a good time. But oh no. Oh no, it's life and death. I got to be there so that way if little Billy falls down and there's a fight breaks out between parents, I'm there to break it up. I mean, it's nuts. It's crazy. And when Brother Chris was talking about that a while ago, I thought, you know, I can relate to that. We have games canceled from time to time. And I've had people say, well, why don't you make them up on Wednesday night or Sunday afternoon? I said, not as long as I'm over it. You know, there's just no sense in it. You got every other night of the week. Why in the world can't you get that stuff done then? But anyway, we are glad to be here. Appreciate the good message from Brother Chris. And appreciate the kindness you all have extended to us and inviting us. If you have your Bibles this morning, we invite your attention to the book of Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. Brother Sadler, when I was in Bible college, he gave us some great advice as young preachers. And I've tried to stay by this over the years. There's three ups to preaching. Get up when the Lord gives you opportunity. Speak up what the Lord gives you. Then shut up when the Lord's done with you. So God willing, I'm going to try to apply those three ups to preaching today, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. But the book of Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 through 41, the Bible says, "And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and saying to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the opportunity to be here. And God, we just ask that you would just speak to hearts today. God, I pray that something to be said would just be an encouragement to those who need encouraging. And Lord, perhaps a rebuke to those who need to be rebuked. And God, I just pray that you'd use it for your glory. If there be one here this morning that's lost, I pray that you'd do a work of heart in their life. Convict them of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. And draw them even unto you now. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Now as we notice here in the book of Mark in chapter 4, verses 35 through 41, we find some interesting things going here. First of all, a lot of times we look at some things in the Bible and maybe we don't consider just how mundane it may seem whenever it starts off. Now think about this. Where was it that Jesus Christ was at here? He was going for a boat ride, right? He was going for a boat ride. When the first miracle that he did at Canaan, what was he doing? He was at a wedding, right? So there's some things we can learn from there. First of all, we can learn that Jesus Christ did not hole himself into a cave and then build a little fortress around and dare anyone to come in or never go out. Jesus Christ was out among the people. And one thing we need to realize, folks, that if we want to minister to people, we need to realize that they need ministered to out there. There are people that are hurting. There are people that are dying in their sins. There are people that are going through terrible family problems, divorce, sickness, financial ruin, all over the place. But here we are, and folks, I want you to understand, when I say here we are, I'm speaking in general terms, not only of the Lord's churches, but I'm talking about Christians as well. We build these little fortresses, and we kind of put ourselves back, and we just think to ourselves, we're spiritual because we're not like them. We need to realize some things, folks. Number one, it is only by the grace of God that we're not like them. Amen. Number two, we were like them. We were just too dumb to realize it. And number three, we, folks, have a responsibility to take the gospel and take the word of God and to a lost and dying world to minister. But, as we notice here, we find that Jesus Christ is getting ready to go for a boat ride. Let's just make it real simple. He's going out on a boat. Everyone enjoys going for a leisurely ride on the boat. But you know something? This wasn't a leisure ride, was it? It was dangerous. It was scary. They were getting ready to go across the Sea of Galilee, I believe it was. And in this sea, there was some storms that would brew from time to time. Now, I'm going to read something here that is from the notes in this Bible I'm using today, which is the Archaeological Study Bible, and it says this. This was a place situated in a basin surrounded by mountains. The Sea of Galilee is in particular, not only then but now, susceptible to sudden and violent storms. Cool air from the Mediterranean would be drawn down through the narrow mountain pass and clash with the hot, humid air lying over the lake. We know what happens when cold and hot kind of come together. We get tornadoes. We get massive thunderstorms, right? But folks, that's what happened here. But the thing is, as they're starting off on this leisurely boat ride, they're not seeing the storms. Everything looks great. But notice in verse 5, and the same day when the even was come, that is after he had expounded parables and so on and been teaching the people, and the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass unto the other side. Now there's something here that many times we miss. Jesus Christ made a promise to those with him. He said, let us pass. Let us pass to the other side. What he was doing here without them even knowing it is telling them, you will make it with me. You're going to get to the other side. Everything's going to be okay. And you know something? For the child of God, we need to realize that God has made a promise to us. Whenever we're going through the storms of life, whether it be financial, whether it be family, whether it be sickness, we need to understand if everything else fails, God will get us to the other side. We're not going to lose nothing, but we're going to be with Him throughout all eternity. He made a promise to those with Him. Let us, the whole group, pass to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Notice also, this is not a conditional promise of I will bless you if you do this, this, and this, as he made over in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, and also in 1 John, where he says, if you confess your sins, what? I am faithful and just, and I'm paraphrasing here, to forgive you of your sins. So this isn't a conditional promise based on their faithfulness to do something, but it's a promise made on God's faithfulness. You see, God knows the storms that are coming up in your life. Child of God, understand that it has been said time and time again that you're either in a storm, you've either been through a storm, or you're getting ready to go into a storm. Everyone, from time to time, has storms in their life. The difference is, for the child of God, we have the master of the storm. We have the one that takes care of us, and we have the one that will never fail. Now, I want you to notice in verse 36. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. Now, notice, the multitudes had left. A lot of times people think that you had to have a big group or a big church, however you want to apply to this, for them to be taken care of. But notice, Christ took care of them in that ship even after the multitude left. And notice, there were also other little ships. Notice, this promise wasn't just to those group right with him, but I believe it was also to all those with him. You see, no matter how small and no matter how insignificant you may think you are to the world or you may be to the world, listen, God knows where you're at. He knows where Providence Baptist Church is. Man, I tell you what, isn't that a blessing? He knows where Rolling Hills is down in Nancy, Kentucky. He knows where Julian is. Did you ever think anyone know where Julian is, Brother Chris? I didn't either when we were there. But you know what? God knows where we're at. Then you notice verse 37. Verse 37, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beaten to the ship, so that it was now full. Man, the waves started coming over, started filling up. You know, I've been on Lake Cumberland whenever there's been some storm coming up. When I was younger, a friend of mine had a boat. We were out there fishing, and there was a little storm came up. We kind of got over in the cove, and everything was fine. But then there was another time we got out there, and it was kind of choppy waters and had a storm coming in. And then there's this big, I don't know what you call it, one of these leisure boats. Man, it passed us. We were in his little John boat, and we got swamped. Let me tell you what, folks, it filled in there. We got a little nervous. But imagine being on this big sea. And here it is, man, the waves are beating in. The storm's brewing. I can't even imagine how big the swells were. The waves were beaten to the ship, and now it was full. Then notice verse 38, and he was in the hinder part of the ship. Who was there? Christ. Now notice, the disciples didn't see him. They weren't with him physically, but he was still there. Now, I want you to consider this too. Is Jesus Christ right here with us physically? Now, I'm talking about you can see him, you can touch him. No. But is he here? Sure he is. Is he here in the midst of the Lord's New Testament church? Is he here with us every day as we seek to serve him, as we go about our lives, even in those storms, even in those trials? Thank you. Absolutely. How often do we, when we're going through the storms of life, feel like we're all alone? You know, we see what all's going on. We're distracted with the storm. We see everything coming in. I tell you what, there's been times with different things, money, finances. You know, let's face it, everyone here has been through those times. You don't know what you're going to do. You're scared to death. Even though you know that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Although you know that God can take care of you right where you're at. But you still get worried, right? How about those times whenever you have that little one in your arms and he's sick or she's sick? You don't know what's going to happen. I remember one of the greatest scares we had. Zechariah was, I think he was a year old. Maybe. We were having a revival meeting with Brother Andy Sexton. And that Friday night he had been sick. We got concerned. We took him to the hospital, to the doctor, I believe, on Saturday morning, and the doctor we had was excellent. And he told us, said, I'm afraid he's got spinal meningitis. We need to check him out. You know, I'd heard people talking about that with their own child. And I can remember people just talking about how scary that was. You know, before I was a parent, I didn't understand that. You know, I felt for them. I hurt for them. I could imagine that it was tough. But man, at that moment, I was scared. I didn't know what was going to happen. And I remember just praying and saying, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen, but God, we just trust you. And you know what God did? He didn't have spinal meningitis. He had something else. I believe he was teaching me something. Just trust me. I'm there in the midst of that storm. Listen, he could have had spinal meningitis. He could have been sick. Would that have made God any less faithful? No. But I would have had the abiding presence and peace with God in that time. Listen, child of God, whatever it would be, whether it be sickness, whether it be church issues, whether it be family issues, whatever gamut you can think of, God is there with you in the midst. Oh yeah, they couldn't see him on the ship. He was way in the back. But he was still there. And you know what it was? He was there sleeping. Why? First of all, he's God. He knew what was going to happen because he controlled what happened. He had made a promise to them. You're going to get there. Everything's going to be okay. But here they come running. You know what? A lot of times we can read this over the years and we'll think to ourselves, man, don't they have faith? I mean, let's think about that. How often do we see other people that's struggling? Now, outwardly we may show concern, but on the inside we're thinking to ourselves, if only they had faith. If only they would trust God like I do. Oh, everything will be fine. But let me tell you, we're just like the disciples. We're so fearful. We're so scared. Even though we've seen God work over and over again, remember these men seeing him turn the water into wine. These same men had seen him cast out devils, had seen him heal the sick, had seen him raise the dead. They knew the stories of the patriarchs. Whenever God split the Red Sea and they were able to walk over to the other side. They had heard the stories of how God provided for the children of Israel in the wilderness, feeding them, taking care of their needs. But yet, this storm blew in, and because it was their storm, they lost all focus. We better be careful. Because folks, if we're not careful, we can become so distracted by what's going on in our life that we lose focus on who we are to trust. So they go and find him in verse 38. They wake him and saying to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Don't you know what's going on? Look outside. We are about to die and you're back here sleeping. Doesn't that sound familiar with us sometimes? But you know what? Notice Jesus' response. And you know in verse 39, as he stands, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. I don't believe Jesus Christ had to get up there and be able to be heard over the waves and over the wind. Perhaps he did. I don't know if he bellowed out. I just can't help but believe he just said very calmly, and this is my opinion, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. You see, folks, the other thing we can learn from this is that Jesus Christ He can make the storm disappear. Now, He doesn't have to. He's not obligated. Listen, they went through a storm for a season, for a period of time. And sometimes God will allow us to go through those times for many reasons. Perhaps it could be for chastisement. Perhaps it could be to draw us closer to Him in fellowship. Sometimes it's nothing more than to teach us to trust Him. What do we find about Job? Job was a godly man. He was a man that was perfect, upright, but yet God allowed him to be tried of Satan. You know, modern day Christendom has the idea that man, if everything's going good in your life, then that means you're in the will of God. But if everything is in turmoil in your life, then that means you're out of the will of God. Had someone tell me a while back, said, "Well, Brother Troy, I hear you're thinking about doing this, and you know, well, if everything goes good, then that must mean God's in it." I said, no. Hold on here. I said, "You've been reading too much Joel Osteen. Your best life now." Listen, if it's your best life now, boy, you got problems when you die. Amen. Your best life ain't now. It's whenever you get to heaven. For the child of God, this is hell on earth. This is close. You'll get to hell. But we will have our best life in the future. Chased a rabbit, forgive me. But anyway, this is the thing. Listen, child of God, you can be in the perfect will of God and have great storms happening round about you. Does that mean you need to quit what you're doing? Does that mean that you need to forsake in any way the things God? No. What it means is God's growing you and God is using you as a testimony. Can you imagine if Job knew what was going on in his life would be used as a testimony of God's faithfulness down through the years? What a blessing that is. How humbled he would be. But I want you to notice verse 40. "And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful?" Just for a moment today, I want to ask you that question. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what struggles you have. Why are you so scared? Why are you so fearful? Do you have reason to be fearful? Listen, in the flesh we do, because we don't know what's going to happen in this life. But we don't have to be fearful as far as trusting God, because we know that He's there in the midst and He'll care for us. How is it that you have no faith? How is it that over the years and in the time you've known me, that you see me be faithful and take care of you and provide for your needs time and time and time again? Notice verse 41. "And they feared exceedingly." That doesn't mean they were scared of Him. It's talking about a reverential fear. They had deep respect for Him. "And said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and sea obey Him?" Isn't that amazing? They'd seen Him do great miracles. They'd seen Him provide time and time again for their needs, but still yet, they were in awe of what He did. You know, from time to time, I believe it's good for us to just stand back and be in awe of God. Amen. Listen, think about what He's done in your life. If you're here today and you're saved, man, just the fact that He saved you. If you're here today and you're saved and you've been through great trials and troubles in your life, I'm certain you can look back and you can see how God has moved. I'm 41 years old. If you told me whenever I was 20 that I'd be standing in the greater Louisville area preaching to a congregation of people, I would have laughed at you. My goal in life, and I say this with a little bit of fear and trepidation, I had a few goals. One of them, and I was very serious about this at one time, was become a professional wrestler. I was going to be the Ravishing Redneck. Thank God that didn't happen. I also thought about being a teacher and a football coach. I got seeing once I was in college that being a teacher was more than just putting your feet up on a desk and telling them to read something. I decided that wasn't for me. Then I considered being a state trooper and coaching football. And you know what? I was on the way to that. But God had other plans providentially. And I'll tell you about that some other time if you want me to. If you told me at that time that my wife at that time, mind you, was still in high school in Michigan. I never thought I'd marry a Yankee. But she's up in Michigan in pigtails on the playground, that I would have married her. Would never thought it. But you know what? God knew better about what I needed than I did. And I stand back and I am in awe that He has done all this in spite of me. Listen, God can do, is doing, and has done great things in your life. Just remember though, these men were in awe after the storm, but they had to go through the storm first. Listen, God will get you through that storm one way or the other. And when you look out and look back, you say, Lord, thank you. I'm in awe of you. God bless you. That's what I got today. I'll let you take care of that.